You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are just 2 weeks away from Easter, almost at the end of Lent. Today, not today, this weekend, when I went into our parish, all the statues and crucifix and everything was all covered in purple, in a purple veil, in a purple covering. And it's just such a stark and wonderful reminder of what is happening at this time of the year. You know, sometimes when we are in Lent and the rest of the world kind of isn't playing along, we can forget what a time of preparation this is, a time of prayer and sacrifice, and to go in and not have the beautiful images that I pray along with right in front of where we sit. Yes, we're those Catholics that pick their seat and keep it. Well, we weren't like that until we brought Faithy home, and because I interpret the Mass for her, we obviously have to be in the front. And I'm so blessed to be in a church that has four sections, so we can be front row, but all the way to the left. I try to stay out of the way and out of eyesight for most people, because I want them to focus on what's happening in the Mass. Though I understand, you know, sign language is beautiful, not the way I do it, but the way it is beautiful. It's a beautiful language. And people are drawn to it, and they're interested. A lot of people say that it brings the scriptures to life to watch me sign, just to try to put the words together. So I guess if the Lord, I mean, Romans 8:28, right, promises to bring good to all who love him. So I'm hoping he uses that people's normal curiosity to watch what I'm doing to help bring the meaning of the scriptures or somehow deeper into. I can't add anything to the consecration, but perhaps, you know, just being more aware of what's happening helps them to, you know, kind of relate or go deeper into their own prayer during the greatest prayer we're ever given, which is the liturgy. I do love the Mass. I wasn't always that way. I wasn't always focused at Mass at all. So I understand wondering eyes and wondering thoughts, you know, true confession. I don't know how you are with, if you've been to Mass lately, or if you go to Mass at all, or if you are curious what it's like, but I can tell you for many years, what I did was I'd come into the church and I'd grab a bulletin on the way in. I would kneel, but I would watch everybody walking by and what they were doing and who was there. And that'd get very social and very loud. And then Mass would start and we would go into the first reading and I would open up my bulletin. And while the word of God was being proclaimed, Allison was reading the bulletin notices. And then the pastor, the priest, would get up and do his homily. And he would be explaining that the homily, the point of that is to open up the word of God to us, to what we just read, to kind of make sense of that for us and help us to go deeper with it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Allison was making a list on the side of the bulletin of my to-do, my calendar for the week or my grocery shopping. No, true story. Yep. This is what I would do. And then during the consecration, during the beautiful part of the Mass where heaven and earth collide and Jesus himself is made present there in the Eucharist. Yeah, Allison was napping or still deep into thought of what she had to do for the week. Then I'd receive communion, go back to my seat, watch everybody coming by, like who's here, who's receiving. Oh, I can't believe she let her daughter wear that to church. Yeah, all of this lovely stuff going through my head. Then I'd leave the church and say, phew, I didn't get anything out of that. Gee, I wonder why. Perhaps it's because I wasn't paying any attention to what was happening there. So I do understand that people, their minds wander, their eyes wander. So I guess if they wander over to me and they're trying to match what's being said on the altar with what my hands are doing and it helps them to listen better, then okay, I accept it. I'm a very egocentric person and I'm a pretty comfortable in my own skin person, but there's something about that. I hate being stared at Mass. It just, I guess there's enough of me that's humble enough to realize that that moment, that what's happening there is so not about me, so not about me. So, but again, if the Lord wants to use it to bring people closer, all the power. So the whole point of saying that was that, you know, we're getting closer to the end of Lent. Things are getting covered in our church. I would just think of her. It's yes. Yes. There was a great post on that today, and I can't think, I'll look it up on the commercial. I know her name is Chiara Finaldi, but I don't know Chiara's, or is that how she says it? Her website, it just went out of my head. Anyway, she wrote a great post on that today about why we veil all the statues and the images. And she's from England, so it's really even more, I think it was more fascinating to see that, you know, sometimes you forget that you're one Catholic Apostolic Church, like that we're universal. And that's kind of neat to see that what happened in her church this weekend all the way over in England happened right here for me in the United States as well. So that was pretty neat. So I'll get that link up and onto where is it going to be? It's going to be on a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. And I'll also have it to announce in the next segment. So what are we going to do this week? We have this week left of Lent, and we've been doing some great stuff, you know, walking her sandals over on CatholicVineyard.com and Facebook. We have the Wine Lenten Book Club that we've been doing all of Lent. I have been doing some other stuff. You know, I've been talking about being a Lenten overachiever, fasting from television, which I actually have done pretty well with. I watched a little bit on Saturday again, even though it wasn't a solemnity, but I waited till sundown. It's the way that I convince myself how to get away with stuff. It's really quite funny. I use the church to my advantage, though I'm not part of the Jewish church. But hey, it's all based on that, right? Christian Judeo. Yeah, so how you say that? Oh, Allison, don't use big words. Anyway, so fasting from television, which I think has given me so much more time to spend with God, to spend doing His work and hopefully His will. I'm really hoping that after Easter, this is one of the things I keep going. I don't know what you're fasting from, what you're praying, or what you're giving this Lent. But if you want to share it with me, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, you can use that number to call in. Or as a text, we can read your text over the air. You can always send me a message via Facebook, A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. I'd love to know how your Lent is going, what you're giving up, what you've added. And when I try myself to use Lent to, you know, create some new habits that perhaps will stay. And I really hope that not watching television every single day, it will be, I mean, I don't watch a lot of it, but I think once you turn it on, sometimes you probably end up watching way more than you intend to. It's kind of hard. Today is opening day for my beloved Red Sox, and the game is at 2:00. It is going to take all the willpower I have not to turn on the television. I may have to follow a little bit over on the internet, but once I turn it on, I'm kind of sucked in, and I feel like it's such a stealer of my time, and that the Lord has given me so many wonderful things to do, and to be sucked away into TV world where I just kind of veg, and it's not good. It's not really very interactive. So television, doing pretty good with food, not so much. Well, but Lent's not supposed to be a diet, so there's that. so there's that aspect. But part of what I was trying to fast for this year was to find ways to kind of heal my eczema. And, you know, I shared with you last week that I've been using this raw apple cider vinegar and distilled water, and it's remarkable. It is really, I mean, it's not perfect. There's still some issues with my hands, but not even close to the way they were. The itch seems to be gone, which is right there, a blessing. May have to take a bath in it because the rest of my body is a little itchy. But, you know, giving up eggs and peanut butter, though this weekend I have to say, you know, after my hands started to feel better, let me just try some eggs and some peanut butter. Why do we do that? It's not important, right? Those things, it's way more important to be healthy and not be itchy. And my prayer life, I think, is going pretty good. doing the walk in her sandals, Wine Lenten Book Club. Really enjoying that. If I've been blessed to write all of the Sunday reflections for that, if you want to go to catholicvineyard.com and click on Lenten Book Club, you can read those. I shared, I've been sharing some really important things for me, I think, that the Lord has done and revealed in my heart that may touch your heart as well. I try to share stories that I think are relevant, not just to Allison World, but to everyone. And I was kind of lamenting this weekend to my husband that I did a retreat. And so I feel like I have all the same stories, and like, I have some new ones because new things happen and things get integrated. But I feel like I have the same stories that I tell over and over again. And after I was complaining to him, I started to read the scriptures and I laughed. I thought, as I'm reading the gospel, I said, well, look, Jesus' stories haven't changed in 2,000 years and they're still pretty powerful. So I guess, you know, having my own little stories that I repeat, there's a new audience and, you know, the Lord shows new things in them. I guess I won't lament over that since the scriptures aren't changing. Well, the words aren't, but they do, you know, just inspire my heart differently as different things happen. So perhaps that's what's happening to those who hear them, who bless me by coming more than once and maybe hear the same story twice. This week, we're going to be looking at the woman in the well. Speaking of gospel stories that can really change your heart and your life, we're going to be looking at the different lessons all week that the Lord has for us in meeting this woman at the well. So stay tuned. Much more to come right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this week about the woman at the well. I was just about to take a drink from my tea. And then the music started, and I thought, that wasn't good planning. But since it was in my hand, it smelled so good. It's kabuka tea, but not like the real stuff. It's fake stuff. That's, even if you ever know anything about kabuka tea, I don't know much about it. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly. But it's got like this fermented yucky stuff. It's supposed to be really good for you. And my friend is a doctor and she recommended it for my eczema. So I try to drink it once a day. This is like I forget what brand it is. Yogi maybe. And it's got like a plum flavor to it. So it's delicious, but I don't know how healthy it is based on the fact that it's not the actual fermented. It's supposed to be like that, that bread, that shortbread that you make one batch of, and then you can separate it and you give it to a friend and they can keep it. Friendship bread, I think it's called. I remember being given it once. Now, I'm not sure how well this friend knew me. They thought to give me this bread. One, I don't cook. Two, I am a germaphobe. Don't give me old bread. Don't give me this mixture that's been going on for like 12 years and expect me to like eat it. It's not going to happen. Just the thought of it. Ew. It's so kind of, I guess kabuka is kind of the same principle. Like you can divide it and then someone else can grow it. And then somehow you make tea out of it. I don't want to think about any of that. That's why I buy the neat little packaged, delicious smelling tea bag. So many crazy things in this world, truly crazy things. This morning I was preparing my next article for CatholicStand.com, and I wrote about my anxiety and, you know, how scripture helps me with my anxiety. It's going to be part of the Squirrel and Scripture series coming out after Easter. And just thinking about all the crazy things, like if you spend any amount of time on Facebook, it could be so like paralyzingly fear. If you have anybody with fear or anxiety at all, reading social media can be paralyzing. Every disease, I mean, it's just every, you know, just this morning I was asked to pray for this woman named Katie. Please keep Katie, David, and her family and four little kids in your prayers. She had cancer. It thought that she was clean bill of health. They missed a speck on the scans, and now she's in her last moments of life. Like, this is the stuff that if you worry, makes you crazy. And I'm one of those people. I worry. This stuff makes me crazy. So I really wanted to spend, so first of all, I guess pray for her, but it also made me think as I was writing this article this morning, like how important scripture is. And for me, it was like that pivotal point in my faith where everything changed for me, where I went from being very lukewarm to barely going to mass, for never speaking to God, and still being filled with angst and worry and anxiety and all those wonderful things that I deal with. I went from that to reading the scriptures, and it gave me glimpses of hope, moments of peace, even though this part of me is going to, you know, I'm going to probably always deal with anxiety and worrying. And like I had worry stomach when I was 9, I think they called it. But I'm always going to have, this is going to be a part of me, always going to be a part of me. But scripture, I was reminded this morning, had such a profound effect on helping me overcome this fear, overcome this life that it's part of me, right? And the world is just, it's crazy. We feel like it's just crazy now, but really it's been crazy forever. It's just a crazy, ever since Adam and Eve, it's been a crazy place. Like we fell and we fell hard. And we continue to fall. We've introduced disease into our world. We've introduced, financial strife into our world because we have to work. We have to pay for stuff. And some people are just better at others at making money. I'm not really good at it. It's just kind of depressing. You know, I have those moments where I look at, for a concrete example, we were watching sports this weekend. Yes, I'm always watching sports. And they were giving the salary for this new player. And, you know, how excited they were with it. It was like 4 years, $60 million. And I thought, what? That's insane for hitting. I mean, I love sports. I watch, that's all I watch, really. And he gets paid. Let me think about this. And I'm sure you feel the same way, because no matter what you do, you're not making $60 million in 4 years. And if you are, please become friend of the show. Go over to breadboxmedia.com and click on a Seeking Heart and click on a friend of the show and help support the show. Because if you're making that much money, I need your help. Let's be honest. Most of us aren't going to make that. Most of us need to be supported as a friend of the show. We all want our own friend of our life, friend of our show, kind of support somewhere. None of us are going to make that. And it was just one of those moments where you think, here I am, I'm doing your work, Lord, and I'm not getting paid at all most of the time, never mind $60 million. And I remember actually writing in eighth grade, I wrote a piece for social studies on the disparity between what teachers got paid and what athletes got paid. Perhaps I was just a wise eighth grader who knew that would get me an A from my teacher. I still have it somewhere. I should pull it out. Yes, I'm a pack rat. I'm not very sentimental, but there's just a few things, especially when it comes to writing, that I did keep. But that was one of them. And I just sometimes this world is crazy, right? This is insane that doctors and nurses and teachers and moms should be getting paid. Stay-at-home moms, there should be some kind of income for you because you work so hard. You're like all of these things. You're cook and you're nurse and you're chauffeur and you're bookkeeper. Please pray for me. I have to do my taxes tomorrow. I still haven't done them. Nope, still haven't done them. My poor accountant. One year I finished them in October. You may be really good at procrastinating if. I have owned my own business in one way or another for the last 21 years. You think by now I'd figure out this whole thing, but I don't. I'm terrible. It's part of my ADHD. Again, why I'm going to be doing squirrels and scripture, the series, the blog series coming up after Easter because of ADHD and my my constant battle with it, which also has the co-condition, the co, it's called comorbid, but the coexisting condition of anxiety, excuse me. And I've noticed that the more people I meet and the more that the Lord allows me to give retreats or write things, that I'm not alone. And this is something that's part of me and I want to share it. And and what does this all have to do with Woman of the Well? Everything, honestly, everything has to do with this woman and how, man or female, we can relate to her and her encounter with Christ. And so I feel so strongly about that. We're going to spend all week on it. So today, when we come back from these messages, we're going to look at Woman of the Well in the Scriptures. I'm going to teach you a little bit of Lectio Divina, which is called divine reading, kind of a fancy way of saying it's just divine reading. It's spending time with the Scriptures in a very specific and profound way. And it's easy. It's got a fancy Latin name, but it's a super easy way to spend time with the Scriptures. But I think that the more time we spend with God's Word, the more we're going to be able to dispel the doubt, the fear, the anxiety that comes with the world that we live in, with the troubles that we have. I mean, the Scriptures have over, oh, I don't remember. The Beans have it in their book. I actually pulled it out to reread, called Your Money, God's, Count Your Money. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I never looked up the other thing too. Oh, I do have notes here. I'll look it up this time. But it's Catholic. It's Compass Catholic. It's God. Manage Your Money God's Way. It's all in here. It's just all fighting to get out. It happens all the time. And there's like over 2,000 expressions, scriptures on money, you know? So everything that we're dealing with, gosh, St. Paul loved to talk about anxiety. Have no anxiety in anything. Worry about nothing. Peter says, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Like anxiety, worry, God knew it's in the Scriptures to help us. This, financial problems, it's in the Scriptures. God knew how to guide us and how to handle the money. Everything we have that we deal with, parenting, spouse, our faith, work, every single thing is in the Scriptures. And when we learn to encounter them and how to enter into them, then they become a very valuable tool in our life and help guide us. So when we come back, we're going to look at John 4. So if you got a Bible, take this 3-minute break or put your podcast on hold and go find your Bible and open up to John 4, Jesus and the Woman of Samaria. We're going to read that together and we're going to look at some of the commentaries on my favorite Bible, the Didache Bible, Ignatius Press. We're going to look at some of the background to what's happening here with this story. And then we're going to delve into what God is saying to us. And again, if you want to join the conversation, I invite you always at 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. And those lines can get busy kind of quickly. So not just because of me, but because they're shared lines. So if you're finding you're going into voicemail or that you're not getting through, leave your number on that, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, and we'll call you back, or you can always leave me a message at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook, and I will read that. We're going to look again at the Woman of the Well when we come back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're going to be looking today at Jesus and the woman at Samaria, also known as the woman at the well, all the lessons that we can learn from that scripture. Today, we're going to actually look and delve right into the scripture. Tomorrow, you'll be hearing an interview I had with Colleen Mitchell, her book, Who Does He Say You Are? We talked in depth in one of the segments about the woman at the well, and I just loved her insights about her. So we'll be looking at that tomorrow. And then Wednesday, I'll be looking at some of the books that I have that the women, the guests that we had on here, Worth It, Danielle Bean, Colleen's book. I'll go deeper into the actual scripture, No, she does not write scripture. She's a wonderful woman, but she's not an apostle. Into the chapter on that book as well. And then on Friday, Christina Trinidad is going to chat with me about Stephanie Lansom's book, The Well. Stephanie Lansom is one of the authors for Walk in Your Sandals. She writes biblical historical fiction, and it is good, incredibly good stuff. So I'm looking forward to talking with Christina on Friday about Stephanie Lansom's book, The Well. That was just on sale last week. I'll have to see if it's still on there and put the link up onto A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras over on Facebook. Of course, if you ever want any of the links that Allison says, that's me talking in the third person about myself. Any of the links that I mention here, but I don't get into the show notes, send me a message anytime, anyway, info@reconciledto.com or aseekingheart@redboxmedia.com. And I'll be happy to send you, answer any of your questions, pray for you if you need it, send you links or resources if I've mentioned them and then not made them available. Anytime. I'm pretty much attached to the internet at the hip, and I'm happy to talk with you, to meet you, to help you in any way I possibly can. So two of the things that I've mentioned in the last two segments that I did remember this time during the break to look up. The Veiled Statues and Crosses article is from catholicpearl.blogspot.com. That's catholicpearl.blogspot.com. And I have shared it on Reconcile to You, and I will share it over in the next break over to A Seeking Heart. And the Beans books, the Beans, John and Evelyn Bean, actually have a show here, Manage Your Money God's Way, on Breadbox Media. And the book I was talking about is Your Money Counts, and it's part of the Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And it's such a great, it revolutionized. Is that the word I want? It's just changed me and Kevin's life. It really has. I was looking for the books to talk about this week on the show, and I found Your Money Counts and decided to pull it out to reread it after Lent, as we continue to try to fix our finances and be good stewards of what God gives us. And I was talking in the last segment how this disparity between what athletes make and what the rest of us make. We work just as hard, if not harder, and we don't have that special skill that makes us worth $60 million in 4 years. But I think that we all have something to offer that makes us a lot more valuable than we're probably being paid. But and I guess my reward will be in heaven. I'm looking forward to that. I believe in that. I really do. I tease that in Catholic ministry, you may not make a lot of money, but your retirement benefits are heavenly, out of this world. Literally. That's my hope anyway. And I do believe that God provides. He is such the divine providence. And I've seen in my own life, crazy, off the charts, amazing. But it's still hard, sometimes when you see what people are making. And God does give you everything you need. And sometimes it just means being better stewards of what you have. So you don't have to worry about that. That you will have the food and clothing and shelter that God knows we need. But of course, who wouldn't like a new car or, a new outfit every, week? Shoes, all those wonderful things. Going out to eat because you hate to cook. All that stuff. But God teaches us such more valuable lessons in becoming good stewards. So compasscatholic.org. Good stuff. Jesus and the woman in Samaria. Let's get focused on this for the rest of the show. Lots of good stuff in here. So it's John 4. And I'll tell you about Lectio Divina and what that is. So it's this special way of reading that has a couple of parts to it. But this is the Allison abridged version. Basically, you find some scripture you want to spend some time with. It can be an entire chapter. It can be a paragraph. It can be one sentence. And you read it one time through. No fancy stuff. Just read it. And then you come back and read it a second time. And the second time you read it a little more slowly, paying a little bit more attention to each word. And as the word or phrase jumps out at you, it touches your heart, you either write it down in a journal, or if you're like me, you underline it. Yes, I underline my Bible. It's paper. It's meant to be written on. I like writing on my Bible because I like to be able to find it again later and know what I said. I love the hindsight that comes with it. I've got, I do end up going through a Bible and having to buy a new one, but that's not exactly a bad thing, supporting Catholic publishers. And the different variations come out. I don't imagine myself ever getting tired of this one. This is the Didache Bible, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. And it is with commentaries based on the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Ignatius Bible Edition. It's RSV, which means the reserved, revised, standard version. It's good. I love it. The word good is like really stuck in my head today. I'll have to ponder that later. Why, Lord, does everything feel like good stuff today? Well, that's not a bad thing, right? That's a good thing. Huh? More good stuff. So you read it through the second time. Words or phrases that jump out at you, you just note. If you're reading it with other people, after you do that, this is the point where you say, okay, share the word or phrase without commentary, without words, just say, without any description or reasoning behind it, just say the word. And everyone kind of just says the words out. We did this at the retreat I did on Saturday over at St. Bernard's in Asona. So grateful for them letting me come in and give my new retreat called Building a Firm Foundation of Faith. And it was my first time giving a morning retreat with both men and women. That was pretty fun, having the mixed audience. My husband wasn't sure I could pull it off because of my penchant for shoe analogies. But I only mentioned shoes once and menopause once. Just a little quick. I didn't get stuck on all that stuff. So and we did it together, and it was wonderful having, about 30 people, and we read it out loud, and then we did the prodigal son, just a little bit of it, the part with his brother out in the field with the father going to meet him there. So you say the words, and then you come back, and you can read it one more time if you want. I like to read it again. And then you share what those words and phrases meant to you. Then you share kind of like, wow, where you feel like, what is God? What do you feel like it's being expressed in here? What do you personally feel like God's telling you? I think it's very important to have the commentaries and to know the background and the church's teaching on that particular verse, as you also try to ponder what personally God is telling you. I was always taught the Catholics didn't read the Bible, that, there was a certain way to read it, and that was the only way you read it. Well, that's not completely true. Yes, the church has a way of reading the scriptures. It has a translation and a description, it has information for us for each scripture. It gives us background, how it relates to the old and the new, the church's, teaching behind it. But also, it is a tool for us to encounter Christ personally, to have a relationship with God. We don't go out and teach particularly what we're inspired as we read the scriptures. But most of us are not teaching the scriptures anyway. It's about our own spiritual journey with God and what God is trying to tell us, to grow us into to who we're created to be. So after you've read it through once, read it through twice slowly, pulled out your words, then read it again and shared what they mean to you. And then for me, I like to go one more step further, and I may read it one more time, or I may just, depending on my time, how much I have left, to study that day or to contemplate that morning or afternoon or evening, is what is God calling me to? What action am I being called to? As we read the woman in Samaria and we see, What is God calling me to? So let's read a little bit. I'm going to read the commentary in the little time we have left for this segment. And we come back, we're going to actually read. It's a pretty long one. So we're going to read pieces of John 4. And if you haven't yet read it, I'm going to just really encourage you to pick it up during your study time today, or your prayer time, and read it. The original 12 tribes of Israel that settled in Canaan, there we go, eventually divided themselves into a southern kingdom comprising mainly two tribes and based in Jerusalem, a northern kingdom, which comprised primarily of 10 tribes based in Samaria. In the 18th century BC, Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom, exiling a portion of the tribes and assimilating them through intermarriage. Many of those were allowed to stay. The southern kingdom likewise suffered a partial exile at the hands of the Babylonians a century or two later. During this time, certain divergent beliefs and practices developed within the two groups, none more contentious than the site of the true temple. Samaritans built a temple on the Mount Gerizim, believing that was the site God has intended for the place of central worship rather than Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed in the second century by the Jewish king. Samaritans only recognized the Pentateuch as their sacred readings. That's the first five books of the Bible. So they were very largely unfamiliar with the wisdom literature and the writings of the prophets. The Samaritans themselves preferred to be called Israelites and believed they were true heirs of Moses. So that's a little bit of the background. And we get back, we're going to look at what actually happened with the woman and Jesus meet. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're looking today, and actually all week, at the woman at the well, different people's takes on this wonderful scripture passage and this encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well, the woman who really represents most of us. There's a very strong omission here in this story. We do not know her name. We never know her name, as Danielle Bean reminded us when she was here talking about You're Worth It. The scriptures are very well crafted. They are, again, the living word of God. So whatever is included or excluded or omitted, there's a reason for it. There's a profound reason for it. So, you know, she spoke about how the woman had no name, because we're all supposed to look at ourselves as this woman in one way or the other in this encounter with Christ. And I shared with you the background, the commentary from the Didache Bible, which for some may be very boring. Like, why would you waste my time reading that? But for me, I think it's fascinating. I for many years did not do any of that. I thought all I need to do is read it and let God speak to me. But in meeting Sarah Chrismeyer and reading more Bible studies, the more that I know about the scriptures, their intent, their background, their history, how they interconnect, the more profound the messages that God has for me are. So that's why I think it's important for us to recognize and read the commentaries and do studies that tell us about the scriptures as they're taught, not just as they teach us. And so we see here that we have Jesus coming to this place really of contention, deep contention. They're not friendly. It's not even like they just don't, hang out together, the Jews and the Samaritans, but they really despise one another and they're quite hostile. And the commentaries go on to tell us that generally, there you go, the traveler would go out of their way, the long way around Samaria, not to have to be even near these people. That's how much of a contentious relationship there was. But we have Jesus who passes through Samaria. And then when he gets to this town called Sychar, S-Y-C-H-A-R, Sychar. I have no idea. You know, I have no idea. Just making stuff up. He rests by the well, a place in the central, very central to a community of that time, because water is very central to our life. And the well would have been their source of life, where they would come daily to get buckets. The women would come and get water for bathing, for feeding, for obviously for drinking, for their family. Like, this was an essential part of their day, is something they had to do every single day. And it was also a place where the town, the community would come together. I'm sure in the morning it was quite a bustling place where it wasn't so hot and the women were preparing for their day. I'm sure it was a very social place to be, to come. I mean, you ever go to the grocery store, and sometimes you go to the grocery store for like one thing, you come home 2 hours later and your husband or your kids are like, "Where have you been?" You're like, "I know, I just went to the grocery store, but I saw this person and I saw that person." It's just a very social place. So you just end up, you know, spending more time there. Now, have you ever been in the grocery store and seen somebody that you didn't feel like having a discussion with at that moment? You know, like, you see them, you might even like them. You're just in a rush, or you're just not in the mood to have a conversation. Maybe you don't feel good. Maybe, again, you're just in a hurry. And so you kind of make yourself a little scarce. Not that I've ever done that. You just kind of hide a little bit. And so the woman here in Samaria, she is not a woman of good repute. So she wants to avoid the stares of these women. She knows no one's going to talk to her. So why go at that point? So she comes at noon. She knows no one's going to be there at noon because it's hot, and they're probably preparing their lunches for their families. And so she comes thinking she's going to be all alone. Like, this is perfect time to come because I'll have it all to myself. And as she's coming upon the well, she sees that there's a man there. And I'm sure part of her must have thought, ugh, do I really want the water that bad? Do I want to deal with this man that is there? Would she even be thinking, would she even be thinking in her head, a woman shouldn't even be talking to a man. I shouldn't be alone here with him. Perhaps I should turn around and go back. But like I said, they need that water. It wasn't like a choice or, "Oh, it'll be good to have some fresh water today." No, she needs that. And it's hot, and she probably doesn't want to come back, because maybe later in the day, maybe that might be a time as the sun starts to set that women come back and refill. And they know this is her time. This is when she needs to do her chore. And Jesus would have known that. Jesus would have, he knows where we're at. He knows what we need. He knows where we're going to be, and he meets us where we're at. I think that's like one of my favorite themes from The Woman at the Well, is he meets us where we're at. Right now in her life, she is a woman that's had, you know, he's going to say, "Go get your husband." And she says, "I have no husband." And Jesus kind of calls her out on it gently, kindly, lovingly, but very bluntly, "You're right. You've had five, and the one you're with now is not your husband." So we see that she's had kind of, we have no idea why, but she's had kind of a checkered past for that, especially for that time, that she's had so many husbands, and the man that she's with now is not her husband. But Jesus doesn't condemn her in it. He meets her where she's at. Like, this is who she is. He's like pastorally going to walk with her. I'm going to tell you right now, if there's someone in your life that you wish was stronger in their faith or would even believe in God or give God a chance, you're never going to convince them this is good for them, or that this is something that they will find life-changing or life-altering by telling them all the things that they're doing wrong. you don't know their heart. God only knows their heart. So I'm really one of those who firmly believes that to encounter Christ is to be loved. And then you share that love with others, hoping they too will want to encounter Christ in the same way that you have. And we do see that in the story, you know, as we go on. You know, so Jesus meets the woman where she's at. He builds a relationship with her by speaking gently with her, by just sharing with her a little bit of what he has to offer. And you can do that as well. You know, if you're yourself looking to grow closer to Christ, look what he has to offer you. Look at the words he speaks in the Gospels and what he has to offer you. And he says, I'm going to give you living water. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to fulfill you with every need that you have in me and who I am. If you turn to me, if you come to me, if you just take a minute to listen and to accept what I'm offering you. So she has this gentle, beautiful conversation with Christ, who then does point out to her the things where she is not being the best person she could be, not fulfilling the person she was created to be, separating herself from God. And nobody likes to hear that stuff. But you notice he doesn't start with it. He first builds relationship with her. Then he brings that. And when the women on the retreat this weekend talked about how it was really a struggle for her to fall in love with Christ because she keeps looking at all the rules and she has trouble with some of the Catholic Church rules. And, you know, she left for a long time because of these rules. And I said that I had a similar experience. And what I found is instead of trying to follow the faith by learning the faith, I followed Christ by learning Christ, by speaking with him, by encountering him in the sacraments, through scripture, through prayer. And after I fell in love with him, my heart was transformed to wanting to follow those rules and to want to know them better and try to understand why we have them. But I don't think you can come at it through the rules. I think you need to come at it through relationship. And the woman in the well really, the woman of Samaria really does, I think, give you that perfect image of how, what God means by that, what he's trying to teach us, meeting us where we're at, building relationship with us, speaking with us, showing us what he has to offer, then pointing out our sins, pointing out the places that we need to ask for forgiveness, make changes. And then she goes off and tells her friends, who, my favorite line in this whole scripture passage, John 4, is John 4:42. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. And that is the greatest thing you can ask for in any kind of evangelization, where you introduced Christ to others, but yet then they go on their own journey with him. He meets them where they're at. He builds relationship with them. He teaches, he shares with them all he has to offer them. And then he converts their heart. Oh, so much more to talk about this week about the woman at the well. I hope you will join me right here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.